essentially the way I have sought to resolve that is by connecting it to the models of physics and mathematics. And I do that for the simple reason that many people have come to believe in a physical reality, and there is an enormous investment in the West in physical science, in the science of physics. Mm-hmm. It's also where I started with my research in engineering school. Mm-hmm. So in engineering school, there is a tendency to look at the material world and then to look for principles which operate in different areas. And the example of the university itself is quite typical, because you have the Department of Mine Engineering, you have Chemical Engineering, you have Civil Engineering, Architectural Engineering, Mechanical Engineering, Aerospace, Electrical Engineering, and all of those. And essentially, they're just different buildings along the same street. And in all of those buildings, they teach differential equations. Mm-hmm. So that's where you can see that even though they deal with different parts of physics and even different aspects of, say, the materialization of the physical, then yet all of them describe that using the same kind of mathematics. And in that sense, I have come to look at the universality or the practicality of mathematics for the simple reason that mathematics is a language which people have created, different than spoken language, because mathematics, you define what you want to say and how you want to say it, and you can fine-tune and calibrate the type of language as you need it. Mm-hmm. So there are very many kinds of mathematics, and all of them serve a different purpose. So, for example, differential equations are created to look at changes, in which it is not very easy to see why something changes and what and how. And then in defining those kind of mathematics, they realize that something that integrates the various kind of differential equations is when you look at things as waves, with sine waves, things going up and down, like the tones of a flute. And then you can see that many processes are actually cyclical, and when you look at that at the deeper level, it basically means that structures in space are redefined as processes in time, because time works with time cycles. But once you understand that and combine that with the understanding of energy, energy is now basically understood as an electron leap in an atom, which means that the electron goes from one orbit to another. So say it goes from orbit 1 to orbit 2. And then there is a specific kind of energy, specific kind of frequency that is connected. Because as you have it in waves, a specific kind of space traveled in a specific kind of time goes at a specific kind of speed. And if you have a speed connected to something that repeats, you call it the frequency. In that approach, you can then deepen the understanding by going to a different kind of way of looking at things, in which you do not look at waves going up and down. Essentially, that is the kind of wave which you see when a bicycle rolls over the street. And sort of when the valve where you inflate the wheel, at some point it is below, at some point it is up, and when you trace the movement of that valve on the wheel as the wheel travels on the road, that makes the sine wave movement. So then you see that there is a relationship between that kind of traveling wave and the rotation of the wheel. And Euler has then understood that in a more fundamental manner and created the kind of mathematics which is based on that interchangeability between the two. And that essentially everything in physics, certainly in differential mathematics, can be described in cycles of different kinds with different speeds. But if you want to connect different sizes of rotation with different speeds of rotation, then there is one instrument which connects that, which is called a vortex. And people know the tornado and the whirlwinds. And when you pull the plug of the bath, you can see that the vortex is being formed. And then I realized that when you look at that vortex, when you pull the plug of the bath, there's a three-dimensional volume of the bath. And then from the surface of the water, which is two-dimensional, you can see the water flow through the funnel of the vortex in streamlines, and streamlines are one-dimensional, those are lines, and then they disappear through that sinkhole of the plug, which is basically a point, if you look at it from the point of view of mathematics, and that's then the integration of the volume, the surface, the streamline, and the point, so three-dimensional, two-dimensional, one-dimensional, zero-dimensional. And later, I realized that when people in the East and the Far East talk about the chakras, then they are described as turning wheels, or the turnings, or the rotations. But when you look at the pictures and look at their understanding, then it is much more simple to see that those are vortices, and that the chakras in the body are all representations of a vortex, and the vortex is a place where something turns inside out. The water of the bath flows back into the ocean via that sinkhole. And with that understanding, you can also see that this principle of the vortex is something which you find throughout nature. So when you look at flowers, you can see that essentially there are a vortex with superimposed a kind of rhythm, same as when you look at an atomic nucleus. There are orbits around them, which is sort of circles concentric around the atomic nucleus, and then the electron on that orbit is basically like a wave traveling around that circular wave. And in the same way, you can see that when you drop water from a bridge onto a silent lake, you create these concentric circles. When you look at the universe, you can see spiral galaxies. Lawrence Edwards realized that the seeds of plants are all vortex-based shapes. And he actually showed that if you turn a line inside out on itself, the shape that it traces is that of a vortex. A complement form of the same is an egg, and a complement dual form of the same, the space between the one side of the vortex and the other side of the vortex, is a torus. So in that view, you can then see that when the traditional cultures talk about the chakras, or they talk about the cosmic egg, or when they refer to the circles, the Ouroboros, then you can recognize that's the vortex, that's the egg, that's the torus. But if those shapes are all interrelated, then of course you are dealing with something which is fundamental not only in the universe, because the galaxies have those shapes. It's also present everywhere in nature, because the flowers and the seeds have that shape. It is also present in us, because our circulation is that shape, and many levels of the body have those principles. When I tried to see how it all connects, I realized that the easiest way that I could make it fit was by realizing that the first cell of the body has that vortex dynamic in it. And that's actually something which follows from a branch of mathematics which is called topology. In topology, they look at the way different shapes are related. So, for example, a sphere is a different thing than a torus, for the simple reason that in the sphere, points do not connect to each other except when they're next to each other. In a torus, there is an outside and an inside, and so points can connect in the periphery of the torus, but they can also connect orthogonal to that in the circling inside. So in topology, you can then discern different complexities of how things relate. And in that approach, you can then see that, for example, the body as a whole, our body is a torus, because from mouth to anus we have this pipeline in between. And in topology, it doesn't matter what initial form something has. So our body may well have arms and legs and head and the rump, but as there is a pipeline going from one end to the other, you can reduce that to the principle of a torus. But when you look at the cell, that's not a torus, that is a sphere. So in our body, we can then see that there are a relationship between the sphere, the torus, and other complex forms, because there are different forms of circulations in us. And then if you realize that it is all based on the cell, then by the principle of topology, a cell or a sphere will have, by definition, two poles, because two polarities, a pole, a top and a bottom. And it's a bit as if this, same as with the Earth, in the equator, the Earth spins, and at the North Pole and South Pole it does not. So there is a different extra effect associated with the sphere. And once you account for that, you can see that in the sphere, there is like a seed of a torus associated with it. And that's actually what you see with the Earth, that the Earth as a sphere has a different shape than the electromagnetic field, which has that dynamic associated with the Earth, which is a torus. So you have these rays going out from the North Pole, circling around the Earth parallel to the Earth's surface, coming back, re-entering the Earth at the other pole. Yeah. So that's why you then have this combination between the cell and the vortex. And with that understanding, I could then see that the cell, when it divides, it creates more and more cells, which means that there are more and more vortices. And all of these vortices must be interlinked, because as you can know, when a cell is conceived, then 50, 80, 100, 120 years later, the body is still hanging together by that shape, which is a dynamic of something turning inside out on itself, because that's what the vortex does, that's what the torus does, and that is what the cell does. So all of these cells together are part of one integral dynamic, and that integral dynamic, as Lawrence Edwards showed, can be understood in terms of a vortex. So our body as a whole, starting from one cell, functions essentially as a hologram, but as a hologram, it functions as a torus, which means that it is a circulation in itself on itself. So when you connect that to the idea of the vortex, then it is simple to understand that when in the East and the Far East they talk about the chakras, that they understand that there is this kind of vortex movement by which the body recirculates on itself, recycles itself, reproduces itself, which is what Humberto Maturana calls autopoiesis. Thing replicates itself, repeats itself, iterates itself. So in that sense, when you then understand that that's the case for the body, then you can also understand that all of these cells, like pixels in a hologram, are all part of the hologram, and each cell is a hologram, and the DNA is actually a hologram projector within the cell. But the body as a whole, too, is a hologram. So you have holograms within holograms, which is like waves within waves. And Tetrionics describes that as you have waves forming the wave train. They have wave envelopes with harmonics going from the size of the smallest wave to the wavelength of the whole process. And then that dynamic is called a soliton, which is again something that can turn inside out on itself and maintain its shape. So our body is a hologram, it is a soliton, it is a complex of waves repeating themselves, folding back on themselves, and then connecting that to the idea of the vortex, it becomes much more interesting, because then you can see that the cell is a vortex, every organ is a vortex, for the simple reason that there's a blood flow going in and there's a blood flow going out. The body as a whole is a vortex, because from mouth inflow, anus outflow, everywhere where there's something flowing in and something flowing out, it is like pulling the plug on the bath, there will be a vortex associated with it. And in that way, it becomes possible to understand that all these traditional forms of healing, they are actually describing something which in the West has become understandable only recently, say 150 years ago, between 200 and 100 years ago, that they started to understand the relation between waves and cycle circulations and vortices and so on. So in the past they already knew that, and their whole approach is based on that. So if the body as a whole is a vortex with a flow in and a flow out, just like a North Pole and a South Pole, then there will be a circulation between those two, like a torus, and that's the shape of the body. But that means that the relationship between all of the cells in the body, all of the organs in the body, and the body as a whole can be much more easily understood in terms of that vortex dynamic. Because there is a vortex in the cell, there's a vortex in the organ, there's a vortex in every joint, there's a vortex for the body as a whole. So then, a bit as in music, you have the level of the notes, the level of the organ, the level of the body. It's like there is three tones which together create a harmonic, which makes a chord which can resound 150 years. And with that understanding, all of the cycles in the body, all the cycles of the body, there's cell cycles, the feed-forward feedback loops, there's organ cycles, there's menstrual cycles, there's life cycles. So as the astrology says, you have cycles within cycles within cycles, all of them are interconnected. And as the body shows, as the coherence of the body over centuries shows, they are all interconnected and they are very stable. So there needs to be a way to understand that stability. And one of the ways to understand that is what's it called? The Pfaffinger vibration. No, Hopf vibration, which essentially is a vortex with multiple layers. Just in the same way as a flower is a vortex, which has a kind of rhythm superimposed on that, which we then see as the leaves. And so when you talk about the lotus, essentially you have a vortex with a vibration onto it, which helps understand which kind of frequency that process works with. And likewise, you have different fruits with different flowers. And so you have fruits with, say, one circulation. You have flowers with two leaves around it. You have flowers with three leaves around the center. You have four, five, six, and so on. So basically, they're just vortex dynamics with different rhythms. And so it is one dynamic, but by having different rhythms, there are different ways in which it can connect in and to the environment. And so there are classes of flowers like the prune and the apple. Every fruit has its own number associated with it, and you can see that at the core when you cut through an apple, you can count how many of these lobes are there. Same for the pear, same as for the other fruits, and so on. So with that understanding, with the traditional forms of healing evidently had, then the question of coherence is actually shifted, because the foundation of the coherence is understood. That's a vortex. Every cell which divides creates a new vortex. All these vortices are interlinked. They create a holographic coherence. And then the question becomes, what can change the stability of this vortex complex? Normally, all of these vortices will interlock with each other and keep each other in place. And an example of that is the organ system. If you look at the body, it starts from a cell. The cell unfolds by a fractal. The fractal is, say, the foundation of the plant dynamics. So that's the foundation of the vegetative system in our body, pipelines of a flow, so to say. Then the body develops further and it creates an internal circulation, the Ouroboros of the classics, or the snake in the Garden of Eden. It's the blood flow with all of the organs connecting to it. And then at the organ level, when you look at that, you can see that there is a rhythm to that circulation, which you can then see in the way the organs complement and complete each other. Already at the level of the vegetative system, with these fractals of unfolding, you can see that the cells unfold and form the whole body, but there is also the blood flow, the lymph flow, the meridian flow, and all other kind of fractals which you can see in the body at all levels. And then that's called the tree of life in the biblical metaphor. And then you can see that in that tree of life, in the fractal of unfolding of the body, there is the snake, the blood circulation, which is torus. So the fractal is actually the equivalent of a vortex. So you can see that it starts at a point and then has these streamlines, it branches out, and then it makes this kind of volume. It's just like with the tree. From a seed, you have the stem, you have the branches, and then you have this crown of leaves. The vegetative system has that kind of geometry. And then within that geometry, there is the snake around it. Within that fountain of the body having been produced from that first cell, you have this torus of the blood circulation with the organs connected to it. Then you can see that the tree of life is a vortex. The circulation of the snake in the Garden of Eden is a torus. And then in the torus you can find the same as with the flowers of the fiery fruits. That in this case, there are five organs which together maintain that circulation. So you have the heart, you have the liver, you have the kidney, you have the large intestine, you have the spleen, and then it goes back to the heart. We now know that all of these organs have glands which define how much the organ does. And we now know that all of these glands are associated with what happens in the brain. So that there is a regulator in the brain which sort of specifies which of the organ is next in doing more than the others. So in that sense, we can understand that the brain in our head is the counterpart of the organ circle in the body, and that what everything that happens at the level of the organs has its counterpart of what happens in the brain. And in the core of the brain, there's like this switch which controls the neurons and the hormones, and in doing so it resets the rhythms of the various organ glands. So the heart has the organs it creates, the liver has the heart has the molecules that creates, the liver does that, the kidneys do that, the gut does that, the lung does that, spleen does that. Every organ has a specific set of hormones and messengers, molecules associated with it. each of these molecules has a specific structure, specific frequency, specific associated radio signal. And Saskia Bosman, for example, has been looking into the measurement of these molecular vibrations of the specific molecules of the specific organ glands. And in doing so, you can then find that what in the East is described as the chakra system, in the West you can understand as the frequencies of these specific molecules of these specific organ glands. They're actually positioned in the places where in the maps in the Orient the chakras are depicted. So then you can say that these chakras are actually corresponding with the various organs, more specifically with the organ glands. And then you can understand that all of the organ glands together form one organ, because every organ is like a tea sieve. You pour the tea through and something gets held back and then the fluid goes through. So all of these organs have that function of filtration and optimization of the quality of the blood. And the blood is actually the integrative organ, so that would be the sixth organ, it's a liquid organ. And then all of these organs together form their integrity in that liquid organ. And so the liquid organ is called Mercury in the astrological system. And the organs in the organ system are then called the gods of the Olympus. And as most people know, the organs have a double function. So in the heart you have the pericardium, in the liver you have the gallbladder, in the kidneys you have the bladder, and with the colon you have the lungs, with the spleen you have the whole blood circulation, the vessels as the counterpart. And that means that for every organ there's a double function. One part of the organ works with full filtration. So, for example, the spleen, the kidney, the liver, and so on, they all have a massive amount of small tubes, small ducts. The blood flows through that, and then in those tubes, the blood is filtered. The quality of the blood is tuned, and those cells work with all kinds of molecules, all kinds of molecular exchanges. The molecules have their electromagnetic signatures. So all of these molecules are connected up to each other. All of these electromagnetic signatures are connected up to each other. And in the West, they look at the molecules. They say, well, hormone this, hormone that, hormone the other. And they ignore that all of these hormones are actually also electromagnetic signals. And so they look at the molecules connecting to specific cells via the so-called cell receptors. But they ignore that these molecules already have a radio signal, and that all the other cells already respond to and interact with the molecule as it passes, as it comes by. And all of the organs are electromagnetically attuned by these electromagnetic signals. So yes, there is a physiology with the chemistry, but that is only secondary to the electromagnetic circulation, the electromagnetic radio field by which all of the cells are interconnected. And so you can see that all of these organs are not working separately as they think or believe in the West. They use this Frankenstein idea that if an organ doesn't work, then you replace the organ. But in the East, they realize that if the organ doesn't work, that is probably because it is overworked, because another organ is underworking. So what happened at the regulation of the balance? It is like you have a spinning top. All of these organs should together function as one organ. All of them should be equally important. All of them should have equal time and role and energy and investment and participation in the circulation. But why is it that one organ suddenly is too active or not active enough? In the West, they blame the organ, or they blame the hormone connected to that organ. In the East, they realize that that organ, that gland, and the production of the hormones of that gland is the response to a shift in the electromagnetic field. So mm-hmm. something has changed in the way somebody relates into the environment. So they are pushing into the environment, the anger expression kind of stuff. Or they're pulling away from the environment, the kidney fear kind of stuff. Or they ignore the environment, the colon, the disconnection kind of sensation. Or they go out of rhythm with the environment. They disidentify from the environment, the spleen. Or they sort of block in the environment, the heart attacks. Or they integrate in the environment, the heart rhythms. So all of these organs are coordinated in their filtration function, and all of these organs are also connected with our counterpart, which have a rhythm function. And Chinese medicine, Tibetan medicine too, Thai medicine too, they realize that there is what they call the solid organs and the hollow organs.
Yeah.
So the solid organs are the ones which do the transformation. The blood flows through, and all kind of qualities in the blood are tuned, calibrated, in part hormonal, chemical, molecular. But the more important part is electromagnetic. And when you look at the heart, Dan Winter has worked on that. He's found a lot of work that shows that in the heart, there are 7 layers of heart muscle. Every heart layer muscle has a different moment that it can activate. The heart layer muscles are organized like a double tetrahedron, so they are oriented in space and time, so they have different directions, and the heart can create an electromagnetic pulse on the blood, as a result of which the blood is electromagnetically charged and can then be directed to a specific organ. But that means that if from the brain the heart gets the wrong signal, then the blood goes to the wrong organ, and the one organ doesn't get enough blood, the other organ's too much blood, the one organ stops functioning, the other starts to function too much. So the loss of balance between the organs comes from, amongst other impulses, from the heart. Actually, every organ produces specific kind of hormones. They circulate in the blood. All of the organs then know what's going on. And also from the brain, the same happens. So there's a double kind of system. Actually, there's a fourfold kind of system by which every organ can tune in with the other organs so that they can together function as a whole. Chinese medicine, they regard that independent functioning of every organ as what they call Shen. It's the soul of the organ. The organ knows what it does because it's part of the body hologram. But if there is something that goes out of balance, then it is necessary to restore the balance. The organs do that between themselves by calibrating these Shen holographic fields. So all of the organs together form a hologram, and when one organ shifts with respect to that overall hologram, it's a bit as what you have with a car with the siren coming by. First the tone is going higher, and then it passes and the tone goes lower. In that same way, when an organ becomes more active or less active, the organs can feel that shift in the rhythms, in the frequencies of the Shen, of the rhythms of the hologram of that organ with respect to the other. And that shift from up and down, from major to minor chords in the music of the body, is what is then the circulation of the qi in the body. Mm. And the circulation of the qi is then coming back to the vortices. Every cell cycle, every organ cycle, every menstrual cycle, every life cycle is a cycle. So it is a circulation, like the Ouroboros, like the snake of the blood in the body. They all have these different cycles. All these cycles are interlocked and interlinked. And so when one cycle shifts, all of the other cycles need to shift too. It's as if in an orchestra, one instrument starts to play a bit too fast or too hard, too loud, or too high, then that affects all of the other organs. And if that instrument, that musician, doesn't correct by listening to the other musicians, that deregulates the body. And when cells in that way stop listening to the other cells, basically that's the foundation of cancer, because they just keep on going, growing in their cycle, and they do not attune it anymore into the cycles of the other cells. So by looking at it in a system of interlocked and interlinked rhythms, it becomes very understandable, because cells have their cell cycles, organs have their organ cycles, the body has the body cycles, and all of them are interlinked. So they're like music within music within music. All these cycles are connected, and when one part shifts, all of the other parts correspondingly shift along, unless that is not possible. And then, say, one instrument no longer plays along with the rest of the orchestra. One organ can no longer catch up with the rest of the orchestra. And then in the East, they check what that organ feeds on, and they check that they can clean out that organ, and then can feed that organ with what it needs so that the organ can catch up. In the Far East, with the meridian system, they realize that the organ is out of rhythm. They look at all of the rhythms, and through the meridian system, they calibrate the rhythms. It's like they use a tuning fork so that the cell cycles can connect up at the proper point, as if the organ can catch a bust again to be in the rhythm with the other organs, and as a result, can connect the body with the environment as a whole. So it is then very beautiful to see that in the traditional forms of healing, they understood that, and they realized that the cell, the organ, the body is a vortex, that if you look at the relationship between them, then those are vortices within vortices. All of them are interlocked, interlinked, and there's a very complex geometry that corresponds with that, but it all fits, so the hologram can keep itself in place. The autopoietic can keep itself in place, and that works wonderfully well, unless there is something that disturbs the cohesion and coherence of those organs. And as the organs have their rhythms, as the rhythms derive from that hologram, as the hologram is associated with the body, the main cause of loss of integrity and coherence in the body is when somebody is distracted and doesn't pay attention to the body, doesn't pay attention to nature, but sort of disconnects from the one and the other, and sort of alienates from what's going on around. And then the hologram of the universe and the hologram of the body are not synchronized anymore. And so when people have shock experiences and store them in the body, these can work like rocks in a river. The flow of the river becomes irregular. It can even be blocked. It can even be blocked so much that it can no longer flow over like a dam. And of course, when it is dammed up, the flow goes back. It builds up a large lake behind it due to the backflow. So in the traditional forms of healing, they knew that. In meridian therapy, they know that. So they look for the cycles of the organs and the body parts, and then they check if they are in rhythm. If not, they look for which one is faster, which one is slower. If that is the case, they compare it to other organs and look, is one of them blocked, or are both of them still moving? If one of them is blocked, then they need to look further and see, well, if there is a loss of rhythm, if there is a slowing down and a corresponding speeding up, that's a compensation mechanism. But if things get blocked, then something else needs to happen, because the meridian, which is the rhythm between the organs, cannot be blocked, because all of these organs together need to maintain the circulation of the blood. And if there's a blockage, it's one on the organs, then the blood as a whole has a blockage in what it is, in its quality as well. So then they need to look, is there a reversal? If the blockage is so strong that actually one of the organs is discharging the wrong way. Normally, a bit as in the vegetative system, where one cell feeds, the next feeds, the next feeds, the next from the root to the branches. And for the light system, it's the other way around, goes from the branches to the root. And then if in the circulation of the organs, each of them having their cycle, they are slowed down or they are blocked, is there something which indicates that there is a reversal, which means that things go backwards? Because if things go backwards, there's an internal disconnection, and that means that an opposite flow is created, but that also means that one of the organs is separating from the other organs, or that within the organ something separates from the circulation. It's a bit as in the river. You have the river flows from the mountain to the ocean. But then at the moment that there's blockage at the sides, you can have that current which goes in the sideways in the other direction. It goes to the side, flows up along the river bank, goes back into the river, goes down, and you can have this circulation which is localized countercurrent. And so the people in the past, they looked at these rivers, they looked at the currents, and understood that in the body it is part of nature, so nature is in the body too. So they realized that all of these processes are there, and then they described it in the most integrative parts that they could find. The same as what you said for what was it, the Golden Light Sutra, that you look for the simplest principles which explain it all, and in the simplest approach, the body is a cell which has unfolded. The body, when it unfolds, it follows the unfolding of a cycle, which is a vortex. From that vortex, you can understand that there is this fractal in the body which connects all of the cells to the first cell. In the body, you can see that there is this internal circulation, so that fractal vortex is also connected to the Ouroboros, the blood circulation and the organ system. And then at the level of the body as a whole, you can see that the body is a hologram. And in terms of the vortex dynamics, that then is a language which not only in the West became fundamental in the understanding of how everything connects, but in the East they already understood that for thousands of years. When they talk about the swastika, they talk about the vortex. When they talk about the meandering, they talk about the rhythm. So in the body, you have a state of pressure, which is that the body can repeat itself. But you also have a state of circulation, which is that there is an internal flow which makes sure that the body can replicate itself. But you also have a state of pulsation. So you have the breathing in, the breathing out, from the outside and the inside. There's all these rhythms at all levels where everything connects. And then at the foundation of it, you have a state of fluctuation, which is that in the universe, everything vibrates. All of these vibrations at the quantum level are the quantum ocean, the quantum fluctuation state. And so from the quantum fluctuation state, you can then have this wave, which then can lead to this circulation, which then can lead to this oscillation, the repetition of the shape. And in that way, I could see that what I had learned in engineering school, for the pressure, the current, the oscillation and the turbulence of water, is what these people already understood. And that in the body, you can see all of them. And that if you want to understand the relationship between the pressure, the circulation, the oscillation, and the turbulence, you can see that from the quantum level, which is turbulent. You can then have this shock wave at the atomic level, where things are put in motion, where the electron is made to jump to change the physical state. And then once the electron jumps, it can keep on flowing in the molecule as the electric current, which is also in the body. And then in that way, the body can be charged up with electrons, which can be stored there, which is called bound electrons, which is then called matter. So in that way, the cells create a current, they have electrical pulses, they create electrical currents, they create an electrical pressure, as a result of which the body is built. And once you see that everything is electromagnetic, then you can describe it in those terms. But if you don't have the terminology for electromagnetism yet, then you describe it as pressure or current or flow. And so then you have the physical states of the body, which is the bound electron level. You have the circulation of the body, which is the electron flow level. You have the electron jump at the atomic level, which is the electron cloud dynamics, which is the wind level. And so that's what the alchemists described. And so they called it earth, water, air, and fire. And in the East, they saw the same. The difference is that in the West, they focused more on that relationship between solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. And in the East, they realized that the body does all that. So in the East, they use the same alchemy as in the West with the four elements. They know about the earth, the water, the air, and the fire. But they also realize that in the body, there is an extra oscillation. There is an extra transformation. That in the body, there is this electron dynamic in which every organ has the possibility to go through all of these states as well. So in the earth element, you can also have the water, the air, and the fire element, and the other way around. That's also what you see in astrology. Astrology is based on the alchemy of the four elements, earth, water, air, and fire. But when they transform into each other, earth can go to water, earth can go to air, earth can go into fire. Basically, it means that bound electrons can go into electron flow, bound electrons can do an atomic electron leap, and the falling apart of material at the molecular level, at the atomic level. And there is also the transition from earth to plasma, that basically the electron charge is discharged from the quantum state. And so in astrology, you can see that you have these four elements going into the four elements, but that means that out of the 4x4 is 16, you also have the transition from earth to earth, nothing changes. The water to water, nothing changes. The air to air, nothing changes. Fire to fire, nothing changes. So those four of the invariants are then what in the body we see as the anatomy, earth to earth. Physiology, water to water, the electromagnetic neuronal hormone regulatory system, air to air, nothing changes. The information in the cell, the information out of the cell, holograms, in holograms, the fire element turning to fire element, nothing changes. So once you know that those are four seemingly invariant states, they are states that replicate themselves, then you are left with 12 transitions, which actually help understand how the body then can adapt in a changing environment. And that is where in the East as well, they understand that you need to look at the organs in the way they relate to each other. They cross-relate, they correlate, they inversely relate, because one organ feeds into the next, feeds into the next, feeds into the next, because that's the blood circulation. But at the moment that one organ gets clogged, what goes from the heart to the liver cannot go on. So in a way, it goes back from the liver to the heart, and things reverse. And that's where things then disconnect from the environment, at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the realization level, and so on. And then you actually can, from that flow dynamics, have an understanding of where things go wrong, how things can go wrong, and which of the other levels you can then go to correct that. Chinese and Oriental medicine knows that. If there's something wrong with the liver, then don't work with the liver, because the liver probably is out of balance because something else. So in the meridian system, you check the five element circulation. The five element together has the whole blood circulation, so there is a sixth element, and that means that the blood flows into that circle, flows back out of that circle, so that inflow and outflow is then corresponding with the central governor meridian. That's what where the part connects to the whole. And then you understand that there is this crossing point in the heart where the flow enters the circulation and the flow can exit the circulation. So the heart has a double function. It regulates the internal pulsation of the heart, but it also regulates the inside versus the outside. And so you have five elements plus six elements at the same time. And when you're dealing with the internal circulation, because the body is in balance, you can work with the five elements. But when the relationship between the inside and the outside is having difficulties, you cannot work with the five elements. You need the six elements. So that's where you then use the I Ching with the double trigrams, the hexagrams, to see how is the relationship between the inside and the outside changed. And then in the hexagrams, you have the 64 possibilities of how it can go wrong. Two of which is open system or closed system. And with that kind of understanding, you can then see that the East was way ahead of where the West is now, because the West has gotten as far as that with thread and needle, with knife and fork, they can cut up the body and replace spare parts, which they need to get from dead or dying people. But in the East, they realize that the body is actually a part of the ongoing circulation of all of nature. So if the body is sort of having difficulties, that means that it is out of balance with the rest of nature. So if you reconnect it to the flows of nature, by nutrition and hygiene, then you can calibrate that flow that the body can pick up again on one